Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. It's no secret that the majority of scientists have historically been white men. A lot of effort and attention in recent decades has gone into making science more diverse and inclusive, but my next guest is co-author of a study with the stark title, No Progress on Diversity in 40 Years. Emily Cooperdock is a postdoctoral scholar at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
You're an ocean geologist, not a social scientist. So how did you end up doing this analysis of racial, ethnic, and gender diversity in science?
Right. Well, I became friends with Rachel Bernard, who is my co-author on the study, while we were both PhD students at the University of Texas in Austin in geosciences. And one of the things that we bonded over was this unsettled feeling looking around at our peers in our department, in our research programs, just in the field, and just seeing the stark lack of diversity. It's just something that we've always been aware of. And so it's something that jumped out at us and, you know, made us feel uncomfortable at times. And so Rachel really decided, you know, I want to know what number I am in terms of African-American women who are getting a PhD in this field. And that's what led her down the path of actually searching out this data. And then when we received the data and realized that we had such a good record for the past 40 years, we started to look through the numbers and realize just how bad it was.
So where did you get the data for this?
So the data comes from the Survey of Earned Doctorates. And this survey is sent out. If you earn a PhD in a science program, you're going to receive an email. I received my email just a few months ago, so that was kind of exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I know, which means I got my PhD just a few months ago. But so they ask you to self-identify what is your field of study, what did you do your thesis on, and then you also self-identify your gender and your race. And so this is something that the data is coming from the people, for sure. And then that's amalgamated by NSF's National Center for Science and Engineering Statistics. And so they've been keeping this data for the past 40 years, since 1973. And that's where they've been made publicly available.
And so did you feel that there was a need? I mean, if all of this data is being collected, what typically happens to it? Why do you need to step in and kind of analyze this to put together the big picture of how things have or haven't changed over 40 years?
That is an interesting question. Clearly, NSF is collecting it, so they're interested in it. And certainly the idea that there's been, you know, a need for increased diversity, increased representation, really increased inclusion in earth sciences has been, you know, around for decades now. And there have been programs put in place, you know, in the past 20 years that have tried to primarily focus on engaging school age groups and maybe undergraduates. One of the things that we recognize through looking at this study and thinking about our experience is that where are those programs for the graduate level? So, you know, focusing on school age children is great and undergrads absolutely necessary, but then that hasn't translated into those groups being represented at the PhD level. And if we don't have PhDs, how are you going to change the higher ups in industry and academia?
So really and truly, no progress in 40 years?
Okay. So if you look at the numbers, what you see is that in terms of underrepresented minorities, so that means that they are represented in terms of earning PhDs in earth sciences below their representation in the U.S. population, right? So like, for example, Asian Americans in 2016 made up 6% of the U.S. population, and they made up 6% of PhDs in these fields. So they weren't considered underrepresented, even though they're clearly still a minority.
Right.
Right. So if you look at the underrepresented groups, they haven't been able to break out of the underrepresented category, with the exception of just this past year with Asian Americans. So Hispanic and Latinos, Native American, and African American groups are severely underrepresented. And if, like I said, if you look at the numbers, basically there has been some increase in the number, the raw number of Hispanic and Latinos earning PhDs, but it is not nearly enough to outpace their rise in the U.S. population. So they're still severely underrepresented.
And one statistic that really jumped out at me was that 6% of all PhDs in earth sciences go to underrepresented minorities.
6%. Right, exactly. And really, that has not changed. That number hasn't significantly changed over 40 years. And earth sciences, out of all the physical sciences, has the lowest proportion of underrepresented minorities.
You also looked at gender balance, and that has shifted. But you point out that it may not necessarily be entirely due to getting more women into the sciences, but also a drop in the number of men pursuing PhDs.
Right. That's an interesting observation that other people have brought up to us as well. And, you know, exactly why that is isn't exactly clear. So basically what it means is that the raw number, the cumulative number of people earning PhDs has remained fairly constant. And so by increasing the number of women, you are de facto decreasing the number of men. So we looked at this briefly in other fields, so say physics, engineering, mathematics, and you see a similar decline in the number of men earning PhDs in those fields over the same time period. So I don't have an answer for that, but all I can say is that certainly it's not unique to the earth sciences or geosciences.
You started off by saying that you started looking at this data because of your own personal observations and feelings of discomfort, but were you surprised by just how little progress you saw in looking at this issue over 40 years?
You know, yes and no, because you can just look around today. If you go to, you know, earth science departments in different universities, I think what you'll notice, what I've noticed, is you have more diversity, more representation and inclusion at, say, the undergraduate level. That kind of starts to lessen at the PhD level and then lessens even further when you get to the faculty level and above. And maybe I've become more aware of that as I've traveled through those tiers. But, you know, if you sit down and think about it at our major meetings, if you look at department webpages, is it really that surprising? Not really, because the evidence is just plain to see.
Do we have a sense of what the factors are that are responsible for that? I mean, there have been concerted, if not successful, efforts in many fields of science to try to increase diversity, to make science more inclusive. Why aren't they working?
That is the million-dollar question right now. And I think it's a question that, you know, there's not a simple answer to it, obviously. A few factors to consider include ideas of what are the job prospects. You know, as earth scientists, we need to be better about branding ourselves, you know, to say we're not just about going into the field or onto a ship and doing this kind of exploratory research, although that's awesome and a lot of people are attracted to that. That's not going to necessarily attract everyone. Explaining that the type of research that you do is varied and multifaceted, showing that it has real impacts on people and communities, and just showing that it's something that is one of the fastest growing, actually, job sectors in the country. So just having the idea that this is, you know, a legitimate kind of avenue to pursue, I think that's one thing. A lot of universities that might be smaller or not as large research programs often don't have a strong earth science component or department. And so how are you going to attract students if, you know, they're not even being exposed to it at the university level? These are a few of the issues that we're dealing with, but there are certainly many others that I haven't listed.
Has doing this analysis changed in any way what you do, either on a daily basis or in thinking about your own career and moving forward?
Yes, in the sense that I think that in order to make a drastic change in the demographics, which is what we need to happen for it to improve, then we need to make drastic changes to the system. And, you know, as someone who is a postdoc right now and will be starting a faculty position next year, you know, as I kind of become into these places of power, I want to make an active and concerted effort to recruit and retain these students. And one of the things I think that we need to do is bring them into the conversation, find out what are these invisible hurdles that they're facing that maybe we don't realize that are making them not pursue PhDs or further on in these types of sciences. And so that's something I hope that I can incorporate into my career.
Emily Cooperdock is a postdoctoral scholar at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and co-author of an analysis of diversity in earth and ocean sciences called No Progress on Diversity in 40 Years. Emily, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, what Americans really think about the coming robot takeover. Stay tuned.